The Emmaus Road story that we've just heard in the gospel reading is a story of doubt and grief, of questioning and listening, of extra dimensions beyond this life, of meeting the risen Christ in the bread of communion. It is a story of resurrection on the day of resurrection. The story is about two friends who encounter all this, Cleopas and his unnamed companion. But I cannot read this glorious story without thinking and reflecting on two other friends, two friends who've died in the last few years, friends of Jenny and me, friends of many of you, members of our church. I will tell you why in a moment, why the Emmaus Road story resonates in my remembering these two friends. What I want to really say to you as we look together, as I hope and pray in these accounts of doubt and faith, you all about seeing but not recognizing, but then with glorious grace, with eyes opened, you may be encouraged in hope. Encouraged in hope for all those you grieve for, and encouraged in hope in all the frustrations and uncertainties of this time. And I hope and pray that you will take this time of lockdown as a great opportunity to see that hope, to see more deeply and widely, that you will be freed of your blind spots that stop you recognizing the glory of God, the glory of the risen Christ in and beyond all things. I pray that your eyes will be opened to see deeply, to see God in all things, to see the risen Christ bringing transformation, knowing that with such seeing, nothing but nothing is ordinary. All is suffused by the glorious presence of God. The ordinary is extraordinary. And I pray that you'll be able to see more widely, to get beyond our earthbound, materialistic, enlightenment, rationalistic culture, and try to see the vast picture of miracles, heavens and angels, multiverses, spiritual bodies, other dimensions. To stop being, in the words of the theologian Tom Wright, such wretched flat earthers. So to see more deeply, see more widely, eyes opened, recognize. The two friends from our church, Godfrey Parry Jones, lay minister here, an utterly saintly man, and David Jones, a great guy with a great zest for life, in Jenny's words, one of the kindest people we knew. Godfrey and David, and with Bob, another friend, I used to play golf regularly with them. At the start of 2012, all seemed well. Godfrey was just 51 years old, David a healthy, fit 66. In that year, though, both were diagnosed to have cancer. David was the first to die just 4 years later, 2016. Godfrey died last year. He had been admitted to hospital in the spring of 2012 with a brain tumour. And though in the following years he had a quality of life underpinned by his extraordinary faith, he was mentally and physically disabled from that time on. The Emmaus Road story resonates with my memory of David and Godfrey because of an incident that happened soon after Godfrey's operation when he was in a poor post-operative state in Epsom Hospital. Again, it is a story of seeing but not recognising. One Friday evening in about May, David and his wife Hilary were driving down on the A25 towards Dorking. A rather out of sorts looking figure was shuffling up the footpath towards Westcott. Hilary was astonished. "That's Godfrey," she exclaimed. David's reply was to the effect of, "Don't be silly, Godfrey is in Epsom Hospital." Hilary insisted, "It is Godfrey." David drove on. A bit later that evening, Jewel Cripps Villiers, another once member of our church, another saint once since deceased, Annie Mabry's mum, was shocked to find Godfrey on her doorstep. It was indeed Godfrey, shuffling up the A25. He had managed to escape from Epsom Hospital, and to this day, no one knows how he had managed it in all of his mental confusion and poor physical state to make his way to Westcott. Hilary was right. David saw, but did not recognise. And I still wonder why. It may have been simply that David's eyesight wasn't the best. Playing golf, he could hit the ball, but often he had no idea where it ended up. But my guess is that something more was going on. Godfrey, his friend, was very ill, disabled, in hospital. it was just not possible he could have made his way to Westcott. For David, it was beyond belief. His conviction was that it could not have been Godfrey, and so David saw but did not recognize. And then why didn't the two disciples on the road to Emmaus recognize their friend Jesus alongside them? But then how was it that their eyes were opened and they recognized him? Maybe like David, there was an eyesight problem. Goodness knows how people coped with myopia in first century Israel. And it may have been twilight, evening falling, and rooms would have been dimly lit. But again, as Cleopas and the other disciple walked along the road to Emmaus, I guess they could not recognize Jesus alongside them because they knew he was dead, tortured to death on a cross in Jerusalem. And of course, the dead don't rise. They had lost hope. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, they say. Yes, they had the very confusing testimony from some of our women that the tomb was empty. But again, and there seems to be a theme going on here of men being dismissive of what women say, their faces were downcast. Their conviction was that simply the dead don't rise. And so with Jesus alongside them, they see but do not recognize. Has to be said, though, that Cleopas and his friend did have much going for them. They were clearly seeking more from this life. They had expectation that God would bring a better world. They were evidently moved by the person and character of Jesus. Great essential characteristics of being so open and questioning and seeking, great essential characteristics for us all. And they talk and they listen as Jesus explains the scriptures to them. And they want to know more. Jesus, never one to impose on anybody, makes as if he'll go on beyond Emmaus, but the two disciples ask him to stay. And then comes the recognition, seeing and recognizing. It's a moment of pure grace. They recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. As he gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Of course, to those who are willing to receive, Jesus is recognized in the breaking of the bread. Just 4 days earlier at the Last Supper, Jesus had done the same, and Luke records exactly the same words. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, emphasizing, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's another sermon for another time, why Jesus chose to identify his sacrifice with bread. In quick summary, it's about the manna, bread of heaven, given to the Israelites in the desert. It's about the bread of the presence kept in the temple, which was brought out by the priests at major festivals with words of proclamation, "Behold God's love for you." Jesus identifies with the bread of heaven and the bread of the presence, proclaiming God's love for you. And with such recognition of the risen Christ Jesus, of his love, eyes are opened, we can see. We can see deeply and widely. So much of this is captured in a famous painting by Caravaggio. I'm going to ask Simon to put it on the screen now. And apologies to those who've joined us by phone, as you will not be able to see the screen. The painting there is on the screen now. And as in this painting, Caravaggio shows how in recognizing Jesus, the ordinary is transformed. As the art historian John Drury says, "The supper at Emmaus is a fusion of epic theatre and domestic still life. Domestic still life is ordinary things, but also epic theatre." There's the movement of the disciples in awe and wonder, doubt and despair giving way to joy and hope. Maybe you may not be able to see very clearly on your screen, but the things on the table are actually luminous with the presence of Christ. The ordinary things at a meal have become yet more fantastic as they catch the light streaming in from the left of the risen Christ. To see and recognize, Caravaggio is asking us to see and recognize that all creation is transformed by the resurrected Christ. See deeply and recognize in Christ's presence everything around you glowing with his radiance. So see deeply when you see the risen Christ, but also see more widely, much, much more widely. To let go of your rationalistic mindset, the blind spots that stop you believing. See the reality of miracles, dimensions beyond this world, heaven touching earth in Christ. We're told in the Emmaus Supper that Jesus simply disappeared from their sight. Resurrected, transfigured body, moving between this world and that beyond, moving between different dimensions of reality. So I pray that you will use this time of lockdown to look beyond the immediate and see more deeply and see more widely. My guess is, and sure comfort, that our friends Godfrey and David can now see glory, see clearly in the glory of heaven. As St. Paul says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. That will be no surprise to Godfrey. He always saw deeply and widely in recognizing the glory of Christ. With David, it was more problematic. He loved to argue, full of doubts, to rationalize. But again, the Emmaus Road story resonates. Faith was, in fact, ingrained in David. And when he knew the fight was over with his cancer, it was important for him to receive communion with Hilary there. When I went to the Royal Surrey a few days before David died, I managed to forget the communion wafers. So Hilary went down to the shop and came back with a Marks and Spencer's roll, which we used for the bread. And in those ordinary things of the bread and wine, but in the transforming, liberating presence of Jesus Christ, the extraordinary happens. Questions are stilled. Debate is over. God's love is received. Grace prevails. So it was for David. The frustration, deep disappointment continues in this time of lockdown that you cannot physically receive the grace of communion. But I pray your eyes will be opened again as I shortly celebrate on your behalf. I pray to say again that you will use this time of lockdown to see more deeply and more widely. Surely most of us in this time of lockdown inevitably have more time to think, reflect and pray. And I'm sure that some people will try to distract themselves by absorption in screens of one sort or another, or filling the time with home-based activities. But that's a great pity if people do that, because these times are great opportunities. Much of our life is so busy, we only ever see superficially, moving from one experience to the next. Like the two disciples in Emmaus, I encourage you to pray in this time that your eyes will be opened. You will recognize him. Him, Jesus, the glory of God in all and beyond all. Glory now, glory beyond this life, for Godfrey, David, for all whom we grieve for in Christ, for you and me, sure hope in all times. Amen.